Singer, songwriter, and author Josh Ritter has a new lover, and he's not shy about it. To find out more, just take a listen to his new CD.
Whoever makes you happy, it don't really matter who. I've got a new lover now. I hope you've got a lover too.
Josh Ritter is a poet, novelist, singer-songwriter, and a recovering divorcee. His first novel, Bright's Passage, was published in 2011. It received critical acclaim, including from Maine's own Stephen King, who called Ritter, quote, a gifted novelist. The San Francisco Chronicle said the novel is propelled by short chapters that read like powerful vignettes, all of which lead to a final confrontation as haunting as any ballad Ritter could have written. And ballads are something Ritter knows a lot about. His latest CD, released just over a month ago and titled The Beast in Its Tracks, features songs that Ritter says, quote, felt like rocks in the shoe, hard little nuggets of whatever they were, be it spite, remorse, or happiness. I'm Suzanne Nance, and Josh Ritter joins me in the studio today to talk about his latest recording, Life on the Road, and why he spoke out in favor of gay marriage. Of course, we want to hear from you. Email questions and comments to talk@mainecalling, post to our Facebook page, send a tweet to @mainecalling, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Josh Ritter takes center stage. This is Maine Calling.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN members' support and by Maine Farmland Trust, members supported and working hard to secure a future for farming in Maine, on the web at mainefarmlandtrust.org, and by the Maine Community Foundation, working with donors and other partners to strengthen Maine's economy and communities, on the web at mainecf.org.
I feel like a miser, I feel low and mean, for accusing you of stealing what I offered you for free. Still it beggars the belief, sometimes what thieves we lovers be. I don't know who you're with these days, might be with someone new. And if you are, I hope he treats you like a lover ought to do. But whoever makes you happy, it don't really matter who. I've got a new lover now, I hope you've got a lover too.
And as I bob along with our producers here to your new record, Josh Ritter, welcome back to Maine and welcome to MPBN and to Maine Calling.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is awesome.
You know, the last time I saw you, we were both in Aspen, Colorado. I believe it was 2007, and you were performing as part of that renowned festival there with violinist Hilary Hahn.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing collaboration, and she was a little bit nervous to improvise, and you were so supportive and so lovely to her, and the audience ate it up, and it was really a great, unique concert to watch.
That was a really fun time. Like, you know, that's like standing next to Hilary Hahn is like standing next to a hurricane. You know, she's such an incredible performer. She's like this amazing athlete, and all I can do is just try and do. You know, not look like too much of a caveman, you know?
No, it was great. It was a great combination, and it really worked. And, you know, there were students there who were experiencing this kind of collaboration for the first time, these two different worlds colliding in such a beautiful musical way. It was great.
It was an awesome time.
It sounds like a lot has happened in the years since. A well-respected and acclaimed novel under your belt, Bright Passages, a marriage, a divorce, a couple of records, including So Runs the World Away and your latest release, which feels a little different from previous CDs, The Beast in Its Tracks. And I just want to read the opening to your liner notes, which really gives us some insight into how these lyrics and songs came to be. And then I'm going to let you take it from there.
Sure.
Because when I opened this CD, when I first got it and read these words, I was really really moved. And then the music on top of it was a very moving experience, as I imagine it is for many. You write, "My marriage ended on November 1st, 2010. It was a cold, blustery morning in Calgary, Alberta, and I was on tour. I hung up the phone and looked around me. I had no experience with divorce. My parents had been together for over 40 years. My marriage had lasted 18 months. I felt quite certain I could walk out in front of a bus at any moment. Contemplating suicide feels like being granted a special power. That night and for the next 3 weeks, I went on stage as usual, smiled, and kept away from bridges. So what happened next, and what has this journey been like after such a powerful life experience?
Well, you know, I think what happened next was just kind of just raw survival. And I think anybody who goes through this, you know, knows that, you know, there's a time with heartbreak, whether it's divorce or any other kind. You know, I think they're all equal. You know, they all feel the same way, that you're just moving through. You're just trudging through. You feel old, you know, walking down I remember walking, I flew home from Denver on that tour, and I remember that the airport, the concourses stretched on for hundreds and hundreds of miles. You know, it was that feeling of, I'm never going to get there, man. You know,
yeah.
And I went back to New York, where I had moved, and a friend let me stay in his place for a while, which was fantastic. And I tried to stay in, you know, I tried to stay in and stay away from all the things that suddenly seemed so attractive to me, just kind of getting obliterated however I could, and which was a very new thing for me. You know, I'm a runner. and so I went and I started writing these songs, and mostly as a way to keep out of trouble. And slowly but surely, the songs that I felt really kind of contained the period of my life sort of rose to the surface and became Beast in Its Tracks.
I think so much of one being an artist in many aspects is sharing your soul with an audience and being willing to do that. But you talked about having a different autobiographical experience with this record.
Yeah. You know, I have always thought that if you're doing a good job, you are in your life as a artist, as a writer, or however you, whatever output you have, is autobiographical. You know, it can be about something wildly different. I'm sure that, you know, Sherlock Holmes was autobiographical to, like, Conan Doyle, you know, but not strictly, you know, but it's a record of preoccupations, you know, the things that you're thinking about at the time, the things you're interested in. With So Runs the World Away, I was really interested in exploration and polar exploration, the finding the sources of the Nile. It was like fun stuff, and like being a writer is gives you the opportunity to just kind of follow those interests. And so I always believe that that's enough autobiography. Like, that's enough for me. Like, you know, there's so much kind of stuff out there that feels autobiographical and was never compelling to me when I heard it, that I didn't need to lend my voice to that kind of choir. But really, when this happened to me, there was nothing else. It was, you know, it was like suddenly we were on tour, and we were driving along, and we came to the end of the world, you know, on the edge of Alberta, you know, and it was, and to like write about anything differently would have just felt so wrong. It would have been a betrayal. It would have been a lie to myself. I would have gone through my life, I believe, regretting not taking that moment to really try and describe what I was feeling, you know, in the best way I could, you know.
Yeah, and I don't want to invade your personal space too much and ask questions about your divorce, but you so eloquently describe what you're feeling, and you really left the sharp edges in your CD. And I think many people would look at your life as an artist and say, oh, well, you know, 18 months, it must have been his hard life on the road or living as a musician. And so I'm curious if there were signs, and, you know, did this seem really sudden to you?
You know, it's funny going through. It's, you know,
and was it life on the road that did it? Do you think
it's hard to say? You know, Don was a musician as well, and a touring musician before we met, and I think both of us like really believed that like that was something that was not going to be a factor, because we both kind of in essence from the time we were 20 or so had grown up, you know, separately, but grown up, but like being on the road and understanding the rigors of that lifestyle. But that lifestyle was our lifestyle, so it was not new to us. You know, I think maybe other jobs would have felt more rigorous. Mm. I think that the fact is that when a relationship isn't right, it's just not right. And you know, people make mistakes. People make profound decisions that affect a marriage, and that's the only thing, you know. It's like there was probably a ton wrong with that relationship that I didn't notice until it was over, you know, and probably she didn't, although I wouldn't speak to what she would have thought. But like, that's, you know, there's that feeling, and I, you know, it's, for instance, today on this beautiful day in Portland, this day when you feel like, you know, here it is, like, you know, spring is and summer are here, you know, and,
right.
And you forgot how good it feels, you know.
Right.
You don't
right.
really remember how like tough winter was, but now thinking back, you know, that was a tough winter, you know.
Storytelling is obviously a big part of your life. It's a big part of the culture here in Maine, and we have a lot of storytellers. We have a lot of singer-songwriters here in Maine. In fact, I'd encourage them to call in and talk to you and ask questions in just a moment. Your major at Oberlin was American history through narrative folk music, and you've also spoken a good deal in the past about how you appreciate a good story or audiobook, and that your parents read to you and your brother when you were small. So talk about being a storyteller yourself, and where you find your sources of information.
Well, I'd say it's a little bit like, I imagine, like being somebody who wants to share, you know, music, new music with people. There's a performative side of it that's so exciting. It's like, you know, here's something that I discovered, or here's something that I came up with. I want to tell you about it. You know, that's the part that's like, or, you know, it's same with being a novelist. It's like, this is something I made. I want to share it. There's a way to connect with people that maybe is not available always emotionally or physically to the person in their normal life. You know, I certainly, like, you know, like most, I probably most people, like, felt like such an outcast in high school and in junior high, and spent a lot of time just, you know, getting my butt kicked up and down the up and down the hall. But the reason that turned out to be good was that I did go inward, and you know, I lived pretty far out of town, and my brother and I and we read a lot, and we didn't have TV just because there was no signal, like a lot of places in Maine as well. I'm sure Idaho and Maine are so similar that way, and I that was, you know, so telling stories was important, telling them to myself, but to collect them for myself, and then being able to share them in a way that felt like it was focused and you know, real. I don't know what it is in me that does it, but I just love telling a story in a song. It's like, Every time I sing one, I live it over, and it's really fun. Hmm. Not just my own, but other people's, you know.
Yeah. Having said that, now you're on tour with this new CD, and in fact, you're performing tonight at the State Theater in Portland. Is it going to be difficult for you? I was thinking about, in years to come, to relive this CD over and over again, or do you feel like it's sort of, I know you've talked about being proud of this CD. Is it going to be painful for you?
Well, I think time will tell. You know, like I was kind of just working by the lights that I had at the time. But I'd say that, like, that what I did, the compromise I made with myself to, like, really put it out, and you know, there's other songs that can be written. You know, these didn't need to be on this, you know, released. You know, I would write songs anyway, and I write lots of songs that don't come out, you know, for whatever reason. And I'd say that the reason what I told myself at the time was, you know, I want to describe this heartbreak, this feeling, as clearly and clinically as I possibly can, because it'll take me a little bit away from it, and it will also, you know, if I do it right, then it won't necessarily be autobiography. It'll be somebody talking about a human condition, you know, and like, everybody can understand heartbreak. So if I describe it right, and I don't make it exclusionary, I don't make it like I don't take away, I don't add so many details that are personal that they can't be related to, then maybe I can write something that other people will understand for themselves, and it won't be about me.
That was my next question. Do you envision other listeners and how they react to your music?
All the time, and it would mortify me to think that people listen to this CD and would think about me. I really believe in the Leonard Cohen idea of you say a poem and you get out of the way.
Yeah, totally. We're going to take a break, Josh. Coming up, I want to talk about your influences. I want to hear from everyone out there listening, singer-songwriters, storytellers, fans. You can call this number, 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, post to our Facebook page, or tweet at Maine Calling. This is Maine Calling.
How many times is the truth that you take to be true? Just truth falling apart at the same speed as you? Till it all comes away at a million degrees. And you're just a few pieces of fallen debris. And she's hopeful. Hopeful for me.
On the next Fresh Air, how Wall Street defanged Dodd-Frank. Gary Rivlin tells us how this Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which was signed into law 3 years ago, has subsequently been attacked and weakened by financial industry lobbyists and lawyers. It's the subject of Rivlin's article in The Nation. Join us.
You can hear Fresh Air coming up tonight at 7. Every day you hear messages about local businesses and organizations that provide their financial support to MPBN. They all understand the value of MPBN in our community and have decided to make public radio and television a part of their marketing effort. If you would like to learn more, please visit mpbn.net and click on Business Support, or you can also give us a call at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. And as always, thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling here on MPB, and I'm Suzanne Nance. Today on the program, singer, songwriter, author Josh Ritter. He's with me in the studio, and he's playing tonight at the State Theater in Portland. No stranger to Maine. We're going to talk about how he chooses to record here in Maine at the Great North Sound Society. We're also going to talk about his influences and much, much more. But he's brought his guitar with him and is ready to play for us live, which is so wonderful. What can we hear today live in the studio, Josh?
I was thinking I would play a song called Joy to You, Baby, all stripped down.
Great.
Awesome.
I go to the parties, throw my hands in the air. I drink what they pour me, the cups of who cares. I go up in the night sky, up in the clouds, fly over the houses, and looking down, joy to the city, and joy to the streets, and joy to you, baby, wherever you sleep. Sleep tonight, 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 tonight. There's no ghosts in the graveyard. That's not where they live. They float in between us, what is and what if, and cast our own shadows before our own eyes. You don't get them up here though, they don't come up high. Joy to the city, the parking lot lights, the lion of evening with the rain in its eyes. Joy to the freeway, joy to the cars, joy to you, baby, wherever you are tonight, 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 tonight. Whatever we stumble upon, if I never have met you, you couldn't have gone, then I wouldn't have met you, we couldn't have been. I guess it all adds up, joy in the end, joy the city, the heat wave and all. To the lion of evening, the storm in its paw. And joy to the many, and joy to the few. And joy to you, baby, joy to me too. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Tonight. Tonight, 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 tonight.
Josh Ritter is live in the MPBN studios, and that is a selection from the new CD, The Beast in Its Tracks. Ritter is here to make music in Portland at the State Theater. And I just want to mention that in the liner notes, it goes on to tell everyone that, you know, after a little bit of time and some serious thoughtfulness and discovery and moving on, it says, I met a girl. She'd been through her own share of hard times as well. She told me she loved me so many times that I started to believe her. I wrote some songs about how good that felt. And apparently, well, tell us how that song came to be. She was rattling around in the kitchen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I moved in, and we set up shop, and it was a summer night. It was the middle of summer, and there was the sunset over New York City. I was in Brooklyn, and there was a spot in the apartment where you could climb up on the roof, and it was my favorite spot. And I took a beer up there. I'd finished that song just then, and sat up on the roof, and it was a really great moment in my life. Awesome.
If you'd like to call and talk to Josh, if you have a request, if you have a comment, you can call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. You can also email talk@mpbn.net, post to our Facebook page, or tweet at Maine Calling. And Hannah posted on Facebook, I have a question for Josh. You've toured all over. What's your favorite place you've performed at so far?
That's a really good question, and like it's one that I feel like over time, like, you know, playing wherever you go, you know, there's this you start to like know what's around, you know what's in the city or in the town, and you start to get favorite little places to go in every town, you know, and I'd say that over time you kind of accumulate this little village all over the country or all over the world of places that it's really great to be and people that you're really excited to see. For a show, I have to say that that if everything is going, you know, when everything is going right and going great, and like, and I feel like I'm lost in the show and the band is lost on the show, and the crowd is there and people are like pushing us, and it's always, it always feels the same, and it always feels fantastic. I always believe that it should, there should never be a place you dread playing, because if that's the case, you're doing something wrong, you know, you're not taking enough chances. So I always like it when it's like, you know, it when it feels exactly the same.
That's great. And you're no stranger to Maine. Talk about recording at Great North Sound Society.
Sure.
Sarah Willis, who's our host of In Tune by 10 and features you all the time, said it looks like about the coolest place ever to make a record.
It really is. It's amazing. I've been going up to Sam Kassir, who plays the keyboards in my band and is the producer of the last three records, along with numerous other fantastic bands. He bought this place in Parsonsfield, Maine, in 2007, I believe, and it was just a box. And he has been working on it ever since. And it's just a great place to go. There's a landline, but you don't get cell service. There's no internet. So much about music now is that you can do anything. You can do anything you want. And sometimes it's nice to have a few obstacles. You know, it makes you more creative. You know, you can't go out on the street like you could in, say, New York or Chicago and find a horn section.
Right.
You have to work and figure out how to do it else, you know, another way. So I love it.
1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Talk about your influences. What is music that inspires you or has moved you over the years?
I like so many things, but like, you know, I like the feeling that I get in my head. You know, I feel like I get this kind of tingling feeling in my head when I hear something that feels just really rock and roll, and it doesn't have to be rock and roll, but it has to have a feeling of being delivered like there's no consequences. I like that, you know, people owning what they're doing, and for that reason, I mean, I love Gillian Welch, I love Jay-Z, you know, of course Bob Dylan is a huge influence on me, as is Tom Waits, Lucinda Williams, Leonard Cohen. I also love a lot of, like, you know, Radiohead and Aphex Twin. There's so much music out there that's just, you know, that is, you know, Marian Anderson, you know, I love Nina Simone. There's just so much stuff. Who knows? But there's no end to it. They keep making more good music, so that's good.
Talk about growing up in Idaho. You mentioned, you know, there's similarities in sort of the rural feel of Maine and Idaho. What happened in Idaho, and when were you exposed to music?
Idaho is, like, you know, Idaho is where my brother and I grew up, and we lived a ways out of town, and it was very, very, like, kind of on a mountain, a really kind of wooded big mountain that kind of, like, kind of was part of the southernmost end of a range that would go up into Canada, and you know, you could walk out the door, and if you walked the right direction in the woods, you could keep on going all the way, and you'd just be in the woods all the way to the pole. And it was exciting, you know, even at that time, that was exciting. So that's what it felt like, and you know, and much like Maine, it feels like the not only is nature there, but the wilderness is there, potential for adventure is there right at your back door, you know?
That's great. I remember hearing your song Idaho for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so, that was one of the first songs I heard of yours, and I was so blown away, and I wonder now if it's because it's so special to you.
I think so. I mean, I remember writing that. I don't really often remember writing songs. Like, it's like I'm in it, so I'm not paying attention. But I remember writing that song because I was home from a tour, and I was at back home, and I remember my mom calling me up for dinner, and I had just started the song, and I wrote it in 8 minutes, and
wow.
It was so fast, and that's, like, never happened before. But that's because I think Idaho is such a strong kind of presence. It felt like it was there to be written.
I'm totally going to put you on the spot, and we're going to take a short break in a moment, and we've had a request come in from a caller. What would you be able to sort of walk us through what that sounds like? You wrote it in 8 minutes. Are you sitting there with your guitar in your room, and does the melody, maybe it's different for every song, but does the melody come out? Are the words coming out? How does that sound? What does it look like, your process?
Well, I get something jumps into my head that's haunting, you know, whether it's a line or it's a little bit of melody. And I remember that there was some bluegrass song that hit me, that there was some line that when I slowed it down, it felt like there was a slow minor feeling to it, mm-hmm. that was really sad and beautiful and kind of wistful. And from there on out, it was just like I just tried to ride along to that. You know?
Great. Grace called in from the road. She'd love to hear, if you're up for it, The Temptation of Adam.
Sure, I could do that.
That's great. We'll take a short break. In the meantime, I want to also talk to Josh Ritter about his novel, Bright's Passage, and much, much more coming up. This is Maine Calling. Please stay tuned.
And oh, what a thrill it was to be in those arms. Plans I had, all they did was hold me down. Those plans I had, they can't hold me now that I am back.
Intelligence Squared US, where the world's leading thinkers debate today's critical issues.
The Republican Party is institutionally and demographically stronger than it's been in decades.
The next motion up for debate, the GOP must seize the center or die.
You take every rising group in America, the Republican Party is losing that group.
Seizing the new center is political death.
Intelligence Squared, tomorrow afternoon at 1. Garrison Keillor and A Prairie Home Companion are headed to Maine. A Prairie Home Companion will be at Darling's Waterfront Pavilion on the Bangor Waterfront on July 27th. We do expect a sold-out performance, so make sure to get your tickets early. And when you buy your tickets, use the special MPBN27 code and have Waterfront Concerts donate a portion of the sale to MPBN. For more information about the July 27th event and the secret MPBN27 code, visit MPBN.net and click on the Events tab, and then choose A Prairie Home Companion live in Bangor.
I don't wear the nightmares sleep. On what butter do they feed? For 2 long weeks I stayed awake until I saw one cross your face. I knew that you had been untrue. I didn't know how, but I knew the who you spoke.
Welcome back. I'm Suzanne Nance, and you're listening to Maine Calling here on MPBN. Today on the program, Josh Ritter. His new CD is The Beast in Its Tracks, and he's performing tonight at State Theater in Portland. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net, post to our Facebook page, or tweet at Maine Calling. And so we've had a request, Josh, for The Temptation of Adam. Pretty great.
I'll go for it.
All right.
If this was the Cold War, we could keep each other warm. I said on the first occasion that I met Marie. We were crawling through the hatch that was the missile silo door. And I don't think that she really thought that much of me. I never had to learn to love her like I learned to love the bomb. She just came along and started to ignore me. But as we waited for the big one, I started singing her my songs. I think she started feeling something for me. We passed the time with crosswords that she thought to bring inside. What 5 letters spell apocalypse, she asked me. I won her over singing W-W-I-I-I. Oh, she smiled and we both knew that she'd misjudged me. Oh, Marie, it was so easy to fall in love with you. It felt almost like a home of sorts or something.
you would keep the warhead missile silo good as new, and I'd watch you with my thumb above the button. And then one night you found me in my army issue cot, and you told me of your flash of inspiration. You said fusion was the broken heart that's lonely's only thought, and all night long you drove me wild with your equations. Oh, Marie, do you remember all the time we used to take? We'd make our love and then ransack the rations. Well, I think about you leaving now, the avalanche cascade. My eyes get washed away in chain reactions. Oh, Marie, if you would stay, then we could stick pins in the mail of all the places where you thought that love would be found. But I would only need one pin to show where my love's at, in a top secret location 300 feet under the ground. Oh, we could hold each other close and stay up every night, looking up into the dark like it's the night sky. Pretend this giant missile is an old oak tree instead. We'd carve our name and hearts into the warhead. Well, Marie, there's something tells me things just won't work out above, that our love would live a half-life on the surface. So at night while you are sleeping, I hold you closer just because, as our time grows short, I get a little nervous. So I think about the big one, WWIII. Would we ever really care? The world had ended, and you could hold me here forever, like you're holding me tonight. I think about that great big button, and I'm tempted.
The Temptation of Adam, a request that came in from Grace. Thanks for the request, and thank you, Josh Ritter.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you here live in the studio, and I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be here.
Charmin from Portland called to thank you also for being here, and is really excited to be turned on to your music and to you.
Awesome.
So thanks for calling in, Charmin.
Thank you.
And Allison via Facebook has a few questions for you. She says, songwriters are advised not to squeeze a lot of words into a small place in the music, but you often do that. Also, you often use a cadence in your lyrics that doesn't match the cadence of the music, and it works for you. Do you do this purposefully?
There's sometimes when I get ahead of steam and I think, okay, I'm going to try and cram a bunch of words in here, and that's because I kind of give myself a little bit of permission to go crazy with this, like, you know, and it's really fun. For instance, there's times I just love doing it, and then there's other times when I think when I really push myself to be as simple as possible, but you know. But I definitely I'm always holding the horse back a little bit when I do that. But it's necessary sometimes. So that, you know, I think there's times when you can have too many words in a record. That's for sure.
That's great. Doris is out hiking and is
awesome.
Listening. Sounds like she has a concert about past concert experience with you. So let's get Doris on the phone.
Awesome.
Hi, Doris.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling
in. Hi, Doris.
Oh, hi, Josh. I just wanted to say I saw you at the Blue Hill Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Raymond put on the show.
That's right.
That was like, I had happiness for many, many months after that show.
That was such a great time. I had such a blast at that show.
And another thing, just to mention the Felice Brothers.
Yeah.
I saw them in Berlin in 2009, and I'd just been through all these Holocaust museums, and they came. And when they did Powderfinger, I just lost it. So they were great. I wanted to say something to them, but I'm not going to be able to make the show tonight. But
I'm a huge fan of them as well.
I will
pass on the compliment.
Okay. So, but thanks again for that great, great show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doris. So talk about the concert tonight at the State Theater. The Felice Brothers are going to be with you.
Yeah, a band I've been listening to and loving for a while. I'm so excited, and so I'm really happy that they're going to be on these shows with me. So and they're just they're really cool. And you know, I always am excited when I feel like the acts on the bill like meet up philosophically, and they seem to have an amazing time, and we always have a great time on stage. It's like should be a great you know, it should always be a full night, you know. So yeah.
Terrific. Before we say goodbye, we have about 3 minutes. I just want to talk to you about writing this novel, Bright's Passage. You're in the middle of a successful music career, and you launch into this project. And so I'm curious about Bright's Passage and what's next.
Well, Bright's Passage, I you know, I always felt like when I was a teenager and when I was really first starting to really feel this urge to do something, you know, I was really just like a kid. I think like a lot of kids, like walking around full of words, you know, and I had no framework for them. And I discovered songs, you know, and there was like this great, it was a bucket to pour stuff into. But I'd always read, and that's what most of my inner life, I think, is shaped by reading more than anything else, you know. And I started to get this urge, you know, to write a longer form thing. And you know, it's the same process, you know. You write and then you edit, and then you do credit to your good idea by making sure that it's as clearly expressed as possible, and letting that clear expression sort of stand for how your own mind works, and just being as clear and concise as you can. I think they're very similar. The audience is much farther away with a book, you know. You can't see them, but it's still the same thing. And I'm working on a new one now, which I'm really thrilled about, and really you know, big, rowdy, fun. The language is terrible. It's really going to be great. I'm excited about it.
When is that due out?
I'm not sure yet. Like I'm
you're in process now.
I'm deep in the woods, but it's good. It's good woods.
And it must have felt pretty good to have folks like Oprah and Stephen King, you know, singing your praises with Bright's Passage.
It's remarkable. I mean, yeah, like there's you know, I think you do your kind of growing in the open air. So I wasn't expecting people to really respond to this like they did. It was gratifying. It was more than I could imagine, you know.
That's terrific. Well, as we say goodbye, let's hear a track from the new CD, The Beast in Its Tracks. We'll take a listen to In Your Arms a while as we close. Josh, thanks for joining us today. Your newest record is The Beast in Its Track. You're playing tonight at the State Theater in Portland. It was really wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is so great.
Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith and Matthew Grondin. Our volunteer, Scott McAuliffe, answered calls. Lindsay Maynard ran the board, and we had help from the MPBN web team. Also, some questions from Sarah Willis. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our podcasts, by visiting mpbn.net/mainecalling. Tomorrow on the program, join me for a discussion about whether women can have it all. I'm Suzanne Nansen. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.